We can't get ready for church. Ryan! Ryan! Wake up, honey! Ryan, get up! Get up! Okay, I'm gonna hop in the shower real quick. You get the kids ready, and then we'll get going.
No. Okay. Hey, what? You just lay out their clothes, because it takes me 5 minutes.
Honey.
That's perfect.
Seriously.
Well, we're already late for church.
Hey, Ryan.
Get yourself dressed.
Did you pick up my stuff from the dry cleaners?
Make break. Make break. Make break.
Okay, Jack. I'm gonna make you waffles.
Can I have a sandwich?
Yes, but you gotta make it by yourself. Jack. Okay.
This is all I could find, and the zipper's broken.
All right, I'll go grab a safety pin.
I am the high schooler!
Make break! Make break!
Hannah, what are you doing?
Daddy, I'm painting your fingernails.
Well, that's great, sweetie, but go get dressed.
I need you to stay still, okay? Honey.
Come on, let's go.
Okay, everybody needs to eat. Here you go. Here you go. Okay, here you go.
I forgot my shoes.
Honey, we gotta go back.
Nobody's taking off their shoes. And I want everybody to understand that we're what?
We made it.
Yep.
Said at the end, nobody has it all together, including the family sitting in front of you. I saw this video a while back, and I thought it was kind of cute. Well, then that following Sunday, I came to church and made it through the first hour of worship practice and visiting people and did the first worship service. And my feet were kind of, my shoes were bugging me, so I took some extra shoes into the ladies' room and I was going to switch them. And as I'm switching, I look down and I'm thinking, I was wearing these fat girl stretchy pants, you know, and I'm thinking, well, I have my pants on inside out. I go to take them off to switch them around, and by George, I also had them backwards. Backwards and inside out. Now, how does a woman my age accomplish something like that? I said I could see if I was 4 years old, but lady my age, and you might be laughing, but I saw somebody walking around earlier today with two different earrings on, so you figure out if that was you. You know, when we get saved, when we get born again, our spirit man is made perfect and it's whole. But it takes a while. It's a process to work that out to the outside, isn't it? To see our soul restored and our flesh be healed. And so that's why the Bible says that it's a process, that we're all on a journey, aren't we? And I want to talk a little bit today about going from glory to glory. And when you think about your own life, if you just had to jot somewhere on your page or make a mental note of it, what does that look like for you? Glory to glory. What has been your glories that God has taken you through or to? Just quickly think about it. We'll come back to it later. Like I said, it's all process. We're all in a different place, but God is changing all of us from glory to glory, faith to faith. And the Lord has really had me thinking a lot about that and digging into the scriptures on it. A couple months ago, something happened that just really affected me. We were, Brent and Ethan Waldrop and myself were at Colorado Springs at the YOM base, where we were invited to come and teach a week-long songwriting course, which is just a blast to get to do it. And while we were there, what we try to do is to get the students to write from a place of encounter, not just putting words down on the page that rhyme. We want them to have an encounter with God and bring something of a spiritual substance back, where they can release a song into the earth where it would draw somebody else into a spiritual encounter. So one of the activations that we do is we have them just quiet themselves before the Lord, and we ask them to, you know, just quiet themselves, and we ask Holy Spirit to bring some type of some Bible story back to their memory that He wants to minister something personal to them right there in that moment. And it's always so encouraging. It's so inspiring what they end up sharing. And it just makes you fall in love with Jesus all over again, because you realize how intimately He knows each one of us and how much He cares about where each one of us are on our journey. And this particular day, most of the people in the room had shared. And there was one beautiful girl sitting on the back row. She's just beautiful on the inside and beautiful on the outside. And she just kind of oozed with the love of Jesus. And I could see that she was just pondering over in her mind what the Lord had shown her. So I finally called on her. Her name was Kathleen. I said, "Kathleen, do you have anything you want to share?" And as she began to speak, it was like the room just filled up with the presence of the Lord. And many of us just stood there and wept. And what she said, I'm going to try to share as best I can with you today what she shared that has impacted my life, hoping that it will speak something to your life. But she said, "I don't really think what I saw was a Bible story, but I know it's in the Bible anyway." She said, "I wasn't at the wedding where the water turned to wine, or I didn't see Lazarus come out of the grave or a leper get healed." And she said, "I wasn't even with Jesus when He walked on the water or into the Garden of Gethsemane. But," she said, "He was walking with me nonetheless." She said, "I was walking down a dusty, lonely road, and I was tired and I was thirsty." She said, "I could feel the sand hit my face as the wind blew and the sun beat down upon our heads." And the moment she was sharing this, it was like I was just taken into her encounter. I was there with her. I was walking down that road with her. And I feel like the Lord has spoken to my heart and said, so many in the body of Christ today can relate to that. Either that road or a road a lot like that road. It's like so many people today we're tired and we're thirsty, and we've seen the promises of God in the Bible that we know belong to us. You know, we've seen them in the spirit, but we haven't been able to apprehend them in the natural realm. And we've prayed it out, we've fasted, we've declared, we've decreed, we've, you know, petitioned. And we're still, it's like that promise is just right out in front of us. We're still pursuing it. We're still chasing after it. And if that's you today, I want to encourage you. I want to say that I believe the Lord wants to release something, some supernatural truth to you today that will change how the picture that you're seeing, that will strengthen you. It's like some of us have gotten so tired of crying out to God for an answer to a promise that we know is ours that we've just kind of quit crying out. It's like we've almost begun to believe the lie that God loves everybody else but not me. You know, He's answering the prayer for everybody else. Why not me? And you've just kind of quit walking down your road. You've quit pursuing that promise, and you've just sat down. And I believe God wants to strengthen our hearts today in a way that we'll get back up and we'll chase after it again. That we'll see a truth that changes how we see ourselves and how we see God. And that we will once again believe, I am here for a purpose. I'm being changed from glory to glory, and God's not done yet. Kathleen went on to say that she felt like the Holy Spirit was telling her that He takes us from faith to faith, glory to glory. She said, but it's what happens in between the glories. It's what happens in between the stories that prepares us for the next glory. And that struck me. You know, it's the in-between times that are as much of our story as the times that we record, that we remember, that we testify about, as the times when I said to you, what are your glory moments? You probably thought of the big things that have happened, but can very many of you tell me what was going on in between the glory moments? in between those times you took the mountains. She reminded us that although the miracles are recorded and the mountaintop encounters are celebrated, it's the in-between walk that develops us. It's where our faith is made strong. It's where Holy Spirit teaches us. It's where a huge amount of our character is developed. Fruit grows there, right? So her plea to us that day was, embrace the in-between stuff. Value the stuff that's happening between those glory experiences. Treasure those times, knowing that he uses everything and anything to transform us. It's part of the process. It takes us to the new and the next glory, or the next assignment, or the next fulfillment of a promise. And she said, and this is something that has just been engraved in my heart. She said, we will look and act more like Jesus when we get there if we will behold him while we walk. I want to repeat that. We will look and act more like Jesus when we get there if we will behold him while we walk. And I think the reason that gripped my heart is because I realized that I've been looking at the promise and not at Jesus. You know, I've been chasing the promise and not Jesus. And it's beholding him that is where we're made difference, is where we're changed. So whatever you're going through, just let me be a voice of encouragement to you today, just to remind you to turn your gaze back to Jesus and keep walking. Don't stop. I think it was Winston Churchill that said, when you're going through hell, keep going. Amen. The last place you want to sit down is in between, you know, from your glory to glory. You don't want to sit down when you haven't seen your healing yet. You don't want to sit down in a place of hopelessness and despair. Keep going. Amen. We're just in between the glories, Bev. We're just in between the glories, right? From glory to glory, and there is a new glory ahead. Thing of it is that the last glory, the old glory, and it was glorious. It was a good thing. It was a good place. It also has become familiar and comfortable to many of us. And sometimes it's just easier to stop and stay there, isn't it? But that's not God's way. It's not his will. He says he's changing us from glory to glory. And if we're still here, he must have something new for us to pursue. So don't stop dreaming. Don't stop looking. Don't stop walking. Keep moving forward. Amen? And as you think about your journey that you're taking, where is your road leading you? You know, do you remember? What was God's vision for your life? Have you just laid part of it down? What is the promises that are out, still out in front of you, that are calling your name? For me personally, I know one of the glories that I'm pursuing is my physical healing. Amen? I mean, I am anchored to Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits. He forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases, right? He redeems my life from destruction, and he crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. That is mine. It's as much as a part of me as my arm is, right? I mean, it's mine. I know it's mine, but for some reason, I haven't seen it manifest in my body yet, but it's mine, right? You know, from, I think back, and I'm terrible with dates and times and years, but a few years back, whenever the neurologist here in Rapid diagnosed me with having Parkinson's disease, they only did it by symptoms, and so it wasn't like it was very real to me. I just, like, really didn't receive it. I didn't believe it. And my stepmother, she encouraged me to go to Mayo Clinic and paid for me to go where they can actually do a scan of your brain. And so I went, and really with about 99.9% sure that they would tell me that that was a wrong diagnosis. So you can imagine when I sat in that neurologist's office and he got right in my face and said, after doing all the tests, you do have Parkinson's. It was like the heaviest weight fell on my head and my shoulders that wanted to just crush me. But you know what? Something else exploded in that office that day. It was like from inside of me, there was an explosion that erupted. And nobody can tell you God isn't real when you experience something like that. And the only way I can explain it is like if you know a defensive, protective mom, or maybe you've been one of them, and somebody starts picking on your child, and you rise up to their defense. I felt like Holy Spirit rose up within me. and a power much greater than the one that was dropped on me and said, but my word is true.
Yes.
Amen. And yes. It was as if I knew that I had to settle it in my heart that day before I ever left that office. Whose word would I side with? Whose word would I believe with? And before I even walked out, I said, God's word is absolutely true, completely true, all the time true. So whatever I'm going through, I'm just going through. Amen. Yeah. And while I go through it, it will not be the words of man that define me. It will be the Bible that defines me. I am who the Bible says I am. And I can have what the Bible says I have, right? It wasn't much long after that that I felt like the Holy Spirit also laid it on my heart to settle some other things. The verse came alive to me about where when the enemy brings evil to you, God can take it and turn it for good. So I don't get up in the mornings looking for what the devil's doing. I don't get up, you know, chasing down, trying to see what he's doing, how much worse have I gotten, what's my pain level. I get up looking for the good that God is bringing out of it. I've actually got a sign hanging in one of our bathrooms to say, look for the good. I'm gonna reap every good that I can get out of this. You know what I'm saying? I'm pursuing good in this life, right? And one of the other things that I feel like is important for me is I've asked the Holy Spirit, and maybe he laid it on my heart to ask for it because I'm probably not smart enough to ask for it on my own. But I want this season to be a season where I see Jesus in new ways, in ways that I could not have had him revealed to me had I not gone through this. You know what I'm saying? You don't really know him as your healer unless you need a healing. He can't really be your hope unless you're hopeless, you know? How do you know him as the lifter of your head unless your head is hung low? So I'm looking to see him in new ways, because when I see him in a new light, in a new way, I see myself differently. And when I can see myself differently, the whole world around me is different. Right, Cheryl?
Yeah, hallelujah.
Amen. So that's just part of where I am at. But I think when you're going through something, you have to make up your mind. You don't wait till you wake up in the morning and then decide how you're going to, you know, am I going to keep walking? Make it up before you get up in the, make up your mind right now today and every morning when you get up, I'm going to keep walking, right? Doesn't matter what I feel in my body. When I'm looking for the light at the end of the tunnel and it's still dark, I'm going to keep walking because I know there's one out there, right? It's a settled thing, right? So God's plan is that we all be transformed from glory to glory, and we get to choose if we'll cooperate with the processes of his plan, right? That's so key. The choice is ours. Will we cooperate or not cooperate? Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, we all, with unveiled faces, are looking or beholding as in a mirror at, what are we looking at? The glory of the Lord. And we're being transformed into what? The same image, from glory to glory. This is from the Lord who is the Spirit. So first of all, these few words, the Apostle Paul who wrote this, he pretty much just summed up our Christian life, didn't he? From glory to glory. And I think it's interesting that he uses that word there, glory is the same word, and he uses it twice side by side referring to two separate things. The first being the Old Covenant or the Law of Moses, right? The second, the new covenant, the gospel of Jesus. And both of them are, you know, glorious and separate in their own ways, aren't they? I mean, the old covenant, think about it. It was given to Moses by God. God wrote it with his own finger. You know, it's the root, it's the foundation of our faith. It's what we're moving from. But the thing of it is, it was an external force trying to get us to behave correctly, right? I think it's Galatians that says it was merely a temporary guardian until something better came along, which was, of course, the new covenant. And that far surpasses the old covenant, doesn't it? It forgives us. It gives us new life. Holy Spirit writes it on each one of our hearts personally. You know, our obedience to God now springs up from within us, by God-given desires, not by an external threat to punishment. And now we have the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit intimately, lovingly living within us, teaching us, guiding us, day by day, moment by moment. But as we move from this glory to glory, there's something even more important about the glory of this new covenant. And that's that it's the supernatural power within us that is transforming us. And it brings it all down to God's ultimate purposes and his destination for every one of us. And that's to transform us into the image of his son. If we're still here, we must not look like him yet. His goal is to cause us to look like Jesus. It's an invitation that's made to each and every one of us that we can be radically transformed right here on this earth. Not, you know, we don't have to wait till we get to heaven. His transformation is taking place here. But we got to keep moving. We can't sit down. We can't stop. So back to Kathleen's word. What it got me thinking about is, like I said, my timeline, my glory to glory to glory would have been like, I got saved. I got baptized. Got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I got healed. I got delivered. I got called into ministry. But I realized that the in-between stuff, I couldn't tell you much of that. I pretty much probably just went in between those glories, feeling sorry for myself, feeling like God wasn't listening to me, thinking I was the one crying out to him, why isn't he doing it for me? I realized that I hadn't been paying attention. I hadn't been cooperating with him. And I think I was also reading my Bible in that same fashion. I was looking, there's the birth, there's the, all the miracles, Jesus getting baptized. Here's Jesus getting crucified. Here's resurrection, the ascension. But I hadn't really paid too much attention to the walks he had taken with his disciples in between those glorious times and what he had really taught them. And so I began to read my Bible differently. And I'm telling you, it's throughout the Bible you see him taking these long walks with his disciples. They're tired. They're thirsty. They have questions. They wonder if he cares. It's the same journey as we take. But what it's led me to do is to read it differently and to say, what was Jesus teaching them? What were they doing or not doing them to help them speed up or slow down their journey, their processes? There's so much. I just challenge you to when you read your Bible, to look for those in-between walks that he does. But the one I want to land on is Luke 5. Verse 1 through 11, and I know it's 11 verses, and that's a lot, but this is church, and we're learning about the Bible, so I'm going to read them all, okay? It says, one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon. And he asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Now Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. So when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and they followed him. Now, the way that this starts out, I can relate to Simon. I don't know about you, but he was tired. He'd worked a long, hard night and caught nothing. And he still had to wash out the stupid net that caught him nothing. Talk about discouraging, huh? So you see him, he's pulled his boat kind of off to the side. He's pulled off, he's off by himself, doing his work, feeling bad for himself, right? But then I see something really beautiful about Jesus. You know, even though he's surrounded by a crowd of people and they're pressing in, they love him, they're adoring him, they're worshiping him, he's not captured by just that crowd. He's completely aware of what's going on with Simon. And he walks over to Simon, doesn't he? He sees, I think it's important to get that because, you know, he's, when you might even walk into a church service and there's the group of people that fight for the front row and we're so excited and we're on fire and we want everything God has. And Jesus is aware of that. He loves that. He's right in the midst of it. But he's also aware of the ones who are sitting on the back row, who are sitting on the side, who maybe didn't come today because they just didn't have it in them to get out of bed. He's completely aware of each one of us and where we are and what's going on, isn't he? So we see Jesus walking over to Simon. And honestly, when you're reading your Bible through the wrong lens, when the word is true and it's eternal and it's life-giving, but if you're feeling bad for yourself and that's the lens that you go and study your Bible from, you're going to see things a little bit twisted, aren't you? And when I first read this, I thought, sure isn't that just like Jesus? He doesn't even care, you know? Poor Simon, you know, he's discouraged and he's tired and all Jesus wants is to get in his boat, use up his boat now too. You know what I'm saying? I see it twisted. We see Jesus getting in and he says, push out a little from the shore. Make him even push you out into the water. Sure, do it, Jesus. Use him up. But see, it's important that we read the Bible asking Holy Spirit to be our teacher and let him be our lens. Because when you see it through the eyes of truth, you see it differently. You see a loving Jesus. I mean, he didn't really need a boat. He was Jesus. He could have walked out on that water to teach him, right? He could have levitated above the crowd and taught him. He didn't need Simon's boat. But he knew that Simon needed him to get in his boat. He knew that Simon needed Jesus in his discouraged, hopeless situation, right? So Jesus went where he was. We don't see Simon rushing to be a part of the crowd, but we do see Jesus going to where Simon was. And we see Jesus crawling into Simon's world and pulling him back into what's happening. And then he asked Simon to push him out a little way from the shore. And I love that when I look at it through the eyes of Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus won't push us, but he might trick you into asking you to push him out. You know what I'm saying? And he didn't ask him to do anything in large leaps and bounds. He says, just a little ways from the shore. It's line upon line, step by step, you know, faith to faith, glory to glory. He asks us to just take little steps with him. And then only after he'd finished teaching the crowd does he turn his complete attention to Simon and he says, now launch out into the deep. Go farther, go deeper, try it again, get back in the game, Simon. And not to disappoint Simon, he says, and let down your net for the catch. And as much as you can feel that loving encouragement of Jesus, can you just feel Simon's frustration? His tiredness, his weariness? Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. It's like he's saying, I am tired. I want to go home, kick my feet up in my lazy boy and watch the rerun of the game I missed last night, Jesus. Right? And if I were Simon, I think I would have been thinking, if I cast my net out there again, whether I catch anything or not, I got to wash it again. Right? But instead, we hear Simon say, because you say so. Simon had a choice, didn't he? He said, because you say so, I'll do it. Again, I think I would have probably said, I'm tired. I've tried it. The fish aren't biting. You stick to carpentry work. I'll do the fishing. But not Simon. He said, if you say so, I'll do it. He chose to obey Jesus, didn't he? Even though it made no sense to his logical mind, he said, I'll do it by faith. And see, it doesn't matter what our circumstances tell us. You know, we still have a choice to make, right? He leaves that to us. And the right choice is still the choice that it was from the very beginning. Choose life. Choose Jesus. Choose his word. Choose his way, right? So when Simon did that, there were so many fish that it actually created more problems for him, didn't it? And when I saw that, I thought, you know, maybe we don't yet have what we're asking for because we're not yet ready to deal with the new problems the answer could bring. Nets were breaking. There's no room in the boats. The boats are sinking. I mean, harvest sounds so exciting, but it's also messy, right? You know, as part of your walk through this hard place today about preparing you for the glory or the messy harvest for tomorrow, you know, are we ready? I mean, somebody was going to have to clean all those fish. Who wanted to do that, right? You know, we cry out for revival and we're prepared, you know, but are we really prepared for the hard stuff that hurting people require? You might be crying out for a mate, but, you know, are you really prepared to die to yourself and serve that person the way God wants that person served? This forced Simon to call out for help from others. And sometimes many of us don't even want to do that, do we? But we're not supposed to do this life alone. We're called a body. Many parts for many reasons, right? So as I'm walking down my long, hot, lonely road and I read this, it changes me. You know, I realize that he's always got his eyes on each one of us. You know, whether I'm in the crowd right in the front, fired up, you know, like anything's possible from glory to glory, jumping to the mountaintops, or whether I'm the one off to the side, you know, kind of just dragging myself through life. Maybe some of you are here today that just kind of drug yourself in. You know, you don't really even want to be here, and you came hoping that the last thing you want to happen is somebody who wants to strike up a dumb Christian conversation with you or ask you to pray with them. You know, some of you sat by the back door because you want to be sure you can leave if it gets that uncomfortable. But you know what? He knows where you are, and he cares. Amen? And his plan is to pull each one of us back into the game. We're all players that need to be on the field in this hour, right? He wants to challenge us to launch out again, to maybe even go into deeper waters than you've ever been. See things you've never seen. Experience things you've never experienced. He wants to bless us beyond measure. He wants your boat so full that you have to give half of it away. Yeah. Amen? That's the kind of Jesus that we serve. So today, do you see him for who he really is? You know, will we pause long enough and through all of our stuff, our pain, our questions, our doubt, will we behold him? Not the problem, not the promises that aren't answered yet, but will we behold him? Will we take time to look through the right lens and really see who he is and how great his love for each one of us is? Will we behold him and let the beholding change us? You know, what if it's really not about what we achieve in this life, but what we overcome? You know, what if it's not actually the glory top experiences that are being recorded, but rather the obstacles that you overcome on the long, lonely walks in between the glories? From glory to glory, remember, Holy Spirit is in you, empowering you, strengthening you, brooding over you, like Pastor Brent has taught us so many times. That word can actually mean singing a song over you, singing a song that's producing life in you, singing a song that's pulling you forward. You know, will we agree to cooperate with him, maybe even sing the song with him? This is one of the verses that has just carried me. It's brought such life to me in these last few months. Psalm 68:4, it says, "Sing to God, make music to praise his name. Make a highway for him to ride through the desert." Now, wait a minute. I'm walking down a long, hot, dusty road, and he's already with me. But when I sing praises to him, when I worship him, it's like it builds a highway, it builds a platform for him to manifest his presence in. Right there in my dry place, my chaotic place, my empty place, I have the opportunity to worship him and to watch him manifest. And it's easy to sing those songs on the mountaintops, isn't it? When everything's going good. But will you do it in that dry, you know, lonely, chaotic, empty place? Will you do it there? And what happens when we do? It says, the Lord is his name. Celebrate in his presence. He manifests himself. I can behold him. I can become more like him right there, right then, right? But the choice is mine. It's all about being in his presence. I mean, what else matters? It's in his presence that I'm changed from glory to glory, right? So wherever you're at today, whatever you're going through, you get to choose, right? You can decide to worship him because he's worthy. And when we do it, his presence that is already living in us will manifest, and we will see and experience him or behold him and receive from him who he is in that moment. And I think a great example of that is back to Simon. You know, that catch that they had to get that day, I mean, that had to be, beyond anything he'd ever dreamt of, right? Two boats full, sinking their boats, breaking their nets. That had to be a glorious situation, right? But what happened? He didn't stay there, because in that process, he saw Jesus for who he was. He fell at his feet and said, I'm a sinful man. And what did he see Jesus as? A fisher of men. And what did Simon become? He was changed into a fisherman that day. He left everything. He left probably the most glorious, biggest, grandest catch he'd ever, wanted to ever dreamt of. He walked away from it to follow Jesus. He didn't stay at that glory. He walked on to the next glory, which was fishing for men. And don't you know, before he became a successful fisherman, there was a lot of lonely walks with Jesus in between still. So we get to make that choice too. And I want us to look at this last verse here. For consider, Romans 8:18. For consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed, where? In us. Too many of us are out here looking for the next glory, looking for something to happen. It's in here. Christ in me is the hope of glory. It's inside here that I see the glory of Jesus, and I'm transformed into that glory, right? And I know that changes the world around me also, but just think about when you got saved. Was it something that happened out here, or did it happen in here? You saw him as your Savior, right? And you got saved. And yeah, it ended up transforming your whole life, right? When I needed to be delivered, I saw him as my deliverer, and a deliverance happened. And yeah, it worked its way out into my soul, into my flesh, into my family, into how I related with people. I didn't have to steal cigarettes anymore out of parked cars. You know what I'm saying? It changed me, and it affected the world around me. But it happens in here. The glory that we're looking for, it happens in here, and it's just cooperating. It's looking for him as we're walking, not out here walking down some long, hot, lonely road, feeling bad for myself, thinking, when's it going to happen? Where is it for me? Who can pray for me? Who needs to speak over me? It's beholding Christ within you. Amen? So, I want to do a couple things before we finish. I want you to think about your in-between times. Have you been cooperating with him? Have you even recognized what he's doing, what he's teaching you, what he's trying to work out in you? Father, I want to just give you permission to start making us more aware of those in-between times, God. We love the glory to glory stuff, God. We love the huge changes and the magnificent miracles. But God, make us aware of the in-between stuff. Don't let us stop and quit and sit down somewhere along the way because we believe the lie that you don't care. God, we know you care. We know that your eye is forever upon us and that you're always for us, Lord God. We know that you're calling us to the next place. To the next healing, to the next deliverance, to the next relationship, to the next financial breakthrough, to the next better marriage than what I've ever known. Make us aware, God. Give us eyes to see like you see. Give us a heart to understand, God, what you're really doing in each one of our lives, Lord. And if you're here this morning, you say, I completely relate to walking down a long, lonely, hot road, but you know what? I don't see Jesus in that picture. I've just been walking by myself. That's where you got to start. You got to get him on the path with you, or you got to get on his path. So if you're here and that's you, would you be bold and raise your hand and say, I just want to invite him into my walk. I want to invite him. I want to walk with him. I don't want to do the rest of this life alone. Is there anybody here? Is there? And I don't want to like embarrass you, but would you mind walking up here just as an example of walking your life, walking with Jesus? Is that okay? And somebody that knows her, will you walk with her? Represent Jesus and walk with her. We don't have to walk alone, amen? We can walk, somebody can walk with us, right? Can I pray for you? Father, I thank you for my beautiful sister here, God. I thank you that you created in her mother's womb with a purpose and a plan, Lord God. God, that you have, the future that you have planned for her is full of hope, Lord God. It's full of prosperity, Lord God. God, there's many people that you want her to go out and be catch for the kingdom of God. God, your call on her life is great, Lord. And so I thank you for her, God. I thank you that she doesn't have to figure it out by herself, that she never walks alone, Lord God. From this day forth, God, she's completely aware of your presence, God, that she's completely aware of you walking with her, Lord God, that she hears you, God, that she knows that you're taking her to good places, God. I just thank you, God, that she is yours, that she's sealed by you, Holy Spirit, that you live big in her, Jesus, that she knows your voice, that she is your sheep, she hears your voice and the voice of a false shepherd she will not follow. I just bless her in Jesus' name. I thank you for her, God. I thank you for how beautiful she is. Give her a hand for being so brave. Now, I want to talk to the people who you feel like, you know, I'm not going through that hard of a time. Things are going pretty good for me. I feel like I'm on a mountaintop, and that's good. But I want to question you. I want to say, have you settled somewhere just because it's comfortable, and you've ignored him calling you on to the next glorious place, or the next mountain you need to take? Have you just stopped and settled somewhere because it's good and it's comfortable and it's all right? If you are, I want to pray for you, and you don't have to raise your hand. That's between you and Jesus, you know. Father, I just ask that each one of us, God, you convict us if we ever stop, Lord God. You convict us if we take something that you've called us to, a blessing, Lord God, and we just camp there instead of making our home in you. We ask that you convict us and call us forward, Lord God. Show us the next glory that you're taking us to. Let us see Jesus in new ways, Lord God. Let us behold his glory in new ways so we can be transformed to even a greater measure of his glory, Lord. We want to end up looking like him. We want to act like him. We want to see like him and believe like him, Jesus. Don't let us camp out and get comfortable somewhere you never intended for us to stay. In Jesus' name, amen. And then I want to challenge some of you. You know, and I've had seasons, too, where I just wanted to be on the front row, conference to conference. You know what I mean? I don't want to miss a thing. That's where I feel today. I don't want to miss a thing that God's doing. But will you give Jesus permission to make you more aware of those that are on the outside? Those that maybe didn't show up today? Those that maybe have at one time thought they were called to do something, but when it was unsuccessful, they parked their boat against the shore and left it there? Will you be like Jesus and crawl into their boat? Use their boat as bait to get them back into the game again? That's what the body needs. We need to reach out to those, because like I said, we need every player on the field at this hour. It's, you know, time is short, and we all need to be fulfilling our purposes. So if that's you, if you say, I want God to help me to be that kind of person, just raise your hand to him. Amen. God, make each one of us more aware, God. And then lastly, if you're here and you feel like you can relate to the person that's been walking down the road and you're tired and you feel like God has not been listening to you and you're tired of chasing after promises that are never seem to be fulfilled for you, would you be brave and just come forward and let us pray for you? If anybody feels that, I know that's putting people in uncomfortable places, but if it's you, we want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, maybe some of those of you who waved your hand and said, I'll get in their boat and crawl into their discouraged lives with them. Maybe you'll come stand behind them and be a voice of encouragement to them as we pray, huh? A hand of encouragement to them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. God, we pray for these people, Lord God. We thank you, God, that you turn on lights today, God, that just remove lies, Lord, that they are important to you, Lord God, that you see where they are, that the promise that they held in their heart, God, really is for them. God, give them a strength and a grace to press forward, to chase after that, to have faith again, to rise up and to run after those things that you've created them to run after, Lord God. God, we just thank you for just truth, God, that you change the pictures in their mind, Lord. Truth, God, truth to the way that you see it, truth to the way that you speak it, truth to the way your word says it, God. God, we just ask that you remove all hurt, God, all discouragement, Lord God. Let it fall off. Let it fall off in Jesus' name and let faith arise. Let hope arise again, God. Let hope arise, Jesus. We thank you for hope, God. We thank you, God, that you're a God that sees everything and you know everything. And you say no one's a mistake. God, that you decided how each person would be created and placed and formed and that your plans for them are good. God, settle it in our hearts, Lord God, to cooperate with you, to choose your way, to choose your will, to choose your words. God, open our eyes to the processes, Lord. Open our eyes to the processes, God. God, I just thank you, God, for people that hearts are so big, Lord God. Put a guard over those hearts that they aren't wounded, but that those hearts are used as just a tool in your hand to draw in other people, to recognize those people who are hurting, to recognize those people who have given up along the way. Thank you for compassion, God. Thank you for vision, Lord God. Thank you, God. Your word says without a vision we perish. God, I thank you that there's vision in this man's heart, that he can run hard after you. God, that he recognizes what you're doing in between and that he's going to cooperate with you. Thank you for just giving him the grace to cooperate, God. Thank you for giving him a new vision of who you are, Jesus, and how much you love him. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys for being bold. And I just pray that you leave here just so encouraged and know so sure. It's so solidified in your heart of how much God loves you and how much the promises that he's placed in your heart, he wants to see fulfilled for each one of you. Amen. Amen. And then we need to do one last thing. Is Lee still in the house? Come, Lee. We're going to pray for this lady. And okay, this is fine. It's your little family, your army. She's raising up an army. Amen. She's raising up an army of little warriors here, isn't she? Okay, Lee, tell us where you're getting ready to go.
I'm going to Vietnam.
Vietnam. We're so excited. And I don't know if I hit on Patrick. How many of you remember Patrick Klein? He smuggled over like 1 million Bibles so far into very dangerous places. And our bulletin is incorrect, so you might want to make a note there. It says he's going to be here the evening of October 22nd, and he's actually going to be here the evening of October 29th, I believe it is, right? So it's going to be a dessert evening. And where has he been since he was here last?
Oh, gosh. A lot of places. He just got back from Vietnam himself.
Vietnam, okay. And so he's going to come back and share with us again. And I promise you, if you want to get fired up about your walk in the Lord and get some fire lit under you, come listen to this guy. He's so encouraging that just because of his obedience, he's a humble, gentle man, but just because he keeps saying yes, God just keeps taking him from glory to glory to glory. And he has just done incredible, incredible things for the kingdom of God. But he's going to be here and he's going to share with us. And that's through, we got to know him through Answer the Call, who's Lee Hayes. But anyway, she's getting ready to go to Vietnam now.
I'm going to Hong Kong, where my son lives, and then we're going to Vietnam, and I'll be smuggling Bibles.
Woo!
And I'm also wondering if they're going to be able to shop for the store. So I'll be bringing things back, making connections. And,
yeah, amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
So.
My boat.
Amen. Amen. I'm just so excited that Lee is one that's never just stopped somewhere and settled. I mean, she just from the get-go, she has just been one that's just chased after the will of God and has always just said yes to him, even if everybody around her told her to say no. She said yes because she heard the Lord say it. And she's just seen incredible things happen. She's seen orphanages built in other countries. She's been a part of starting homes for widows. She's oversees a leper colony. I mean, God has just done incredible, incredible, incredible things and look at her. She's just a meek, mild, single mom that has taken in anybody that the Lord would bring to her. She just has such a big yes in her heart. So I think she's such a great example. There's so much we could learn from her. But anyway, we want to pray over her. Father God, I thank you for her. I thank you for her heart. I thank you of what an example she is to each one of us. God, I just thank you for the big yes that you put in her heart. I thank you for the love she has for you and the love that she has for all human beings, God. No matter where she encounters them, God, your love just oozes out of her, God. Truly, she is being transformed into the image of your son. She's one that walks in the room and you feel like Jesus walked in. I thank you for that example, God. And I just bless what the next encounter that you're taking her on, the next adventure that she's getting ready to go to, Lord. We just pray over her. We plead your blood over her. We thank you that her footsteps are ordered of you, Lord God, that each relationship shall be ordered and of you, Lord God, that she's protected, that she's hidden away in you. God, she's always had a heart to smuggle Bibles, but this is her first opportunity, and she's so excited, God. And I thank you that she's not doing it alone, God. She just is getting to go along with you and watch what you're doing, Lord. I thank you that she co-labors with you, Jesus. I thank you that you put people in her path, Lord God, that are wise. I thank you, Lord God, that even her shopping that she does, Lord God, for the store, it's just ordered of you, Lord. The finances are there, whatever you want her to bring back is put right in front of her. She just knows it. She knows it. She knows. And we just bless what you're doing in her, God. And we pray over her physical body right now that's trying to bring her trouble, God. We just speak health to it. We say, with his stripes, you were healed. We command this back to come into alignment, the kidneys to function properly, all pain to be gone, all nerves, muscles, joints, cells come into alignment, every organ. You cooperate with the plans and purposes of the kingdom of God. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. And for her little family here, God, we just pray over them. We thank you that you keep them safe while Mama's gone, Lord. We thank you that she's imparting to them just some of the same spiritual DNA, Lord God, that she carries. We thank you that they'll be used mightily in your hand, Lord, in the days to come and even now in the place where you've placed them. We just give you praise for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, and... She also wanted you to know Pastor Matthew and his son,
Jenna,
they are still going to school at the Keystone Project, and they released them today to be down to the open suitcase from 2 to 6. So if you didn't get to visit with them and you'd like to, she's inviting you, and she's having some incredible sales down there, I guess, this afternoon. And so anyway.
Snacks like open house, and at 4:30 to 6, free henna. Tattoos, not the henna tube.
All right. So anyway.
Thank you. And keep. Can I just say that?
Oh, you should have a mic. Click. That's all right. Here, how about this?
I just want to give God some glory because, I mean, and as you say these things that God has done through me in the orphanage and the widows, it's not me. I'm not real equipped. I'm not that smart. You know, I'm not that qualified, but God picks us anyway, and I want to encourage you that if God's promised, because he promised me many years, he would do these things, and I was like, well, how can you use me? But he did, just because I was willing. Amen. And a lot of things they did, I just like stood back and my mouth would drop. I'm like, whoa, you did that. And it really took very little skill set from mine. So just be willing. So I just got to give them glory for that because it's
Amen.
Really, man.
Amen.
I'm a mess.
Amen. That sounds like our Jesus, doesn't it? I felt, even as you said this, I know we're after 11, so if you have to leave, you surely may, and you won't offend any of us. But would you be willing that if there are other people here today that, you know, maybe you've always seen yourself doing big things like that, but you just have, like Lee, you feel like, who am I? You know, I'm not smart. I'm not, you know, I'm not that gifted. I'm not, but it's in your heart to do it. That's Holy Spirit. So if you would like for Lee to just, do you mind just laying hands on people and praying on some of us? Okay. And just kind of imparting some of what she's already walking in. I would invite you to come forward and let her pray for us. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Lee. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You do whatever you want to. However the Holy Spirit's leading you. Jesus. You needed to be up here, or I would have come and got you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And like me, God, you brought in the people that knew how to do those things. So I pray, Lord God, that you'd begin to bring in those to surround them, believe in their vision, believe in their dream, God, and that they would be their backbone and hold up their arms so that they could go forward. And so we just call in the fullness of the giftings, the promises, the dreams, and the visions in the future you have for these people, God. I thank you for that in the name of Jesus.
Amen. And I receive it from you too. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Well, with all that, yes, thank you. We love you. We believe in you. I keep feeling like I'm supposed to pray over you. May I? No, I can't. I can only think Pearly Bird. Pearly Bird, what's your first name? Shelly, would you come here and let me pray for you? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God, I thank you for my sister. God, I thank you for the big heart that she has, Lord. God, I thank you that she knows what it's like to feel alone and off to the side. But God, you've called her to be a fisher of men, Lord. God, you've shown her the great things. You've shown her the lonely times. You've shown her the front rows. You've shown her the back rows. God, she understands so many aspects of it and where people can be along this journey, Lord God. And so I just ask that right now, God, you just encourage her heart. God, you let her see herself the way you see her. Let her see what a giant she is in the kingdom of God. Let her see all the people that are still out there with boats tied to the shore that she needs to go crawl into and be a voice of encouragement, that she needs to say, will you push me out? That she needs to link arms with them and do life with them, Lord God. God, just her presence is so encouraging, Lord, and she just has such a way of just inviting people in. And so I bless that about her, and I just ask that from this day forward, God, that she sees herself the way you see her, just truly as a giant in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. Love you.
Me too.
Bless you. And her mom. I got to pray for her mom, too. I'm sorry. Once I get started, I probably won't be able to stop. Okay. You can stay seated. God, I thank you for this beautiful woman of God. I thank you just for the witness that she is to her family and all those who know her. I thank you for the heart that she has to just be an Anna in your house, Lord God, that she's a prayer warrior, Lord God. And when she cries out to you, you hear her prayers, Lord God, that she has your ear, Lord God, that heaven shakes when she prays, Lord. So I thank you that you continue just to stir that gift of intercession up in her, Lord God. You can just show her, give her new assignments, God, of places, of people, of nations that she can pray for and see change come to pass. I thank you for her in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I thank you for my brother, Lord. I thank you, God, just for how you created him, Lord God. I thank you for the kindness in his heart, Lord God. I thank you for the gentle spirit that he that he walks in, Lord. I thank you for the love that he has in his heart for you. God, I thank you that your eye is upon him, God, and the path that you have in front of him, Lord God, is a smooth path, Lord God. And I thank you that you strengthen his ankles, that they will not turn. God, I thank you that he will run his race and he will finish his race well, Lord God. And I thank you that when he gets to the finish line, he'll look back and see many, many, many people that he's influenced, many people that he's brought into the kingdom. God, I thank you for just the gift of evangelism that's in his heart, Lord God. The gift of a pastor that's there. God, I just ask that you just bless the gifts that are there, Lord. Just bless him and encourage his heart today, Lord God. Get him back on the playing field, Lord God, to where he knows that he knows that he knows that he's just right in the right spot, Lord God, that there's no guessing, there's no questioning. I just thank you for him, God. I thank you for him, God. I say he's a gift to the body of Christ. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, guys. Bless you. Well, like I said, I shouldn't even start because then I want to keep going. And I know I want to respect your time. So thank you for coming today. Thank you for just being the wonderful people that you are. I love you. Go out and give them.